Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We go to L.A. Check in with our buddy Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com. Talk some NHL, talk some Buffalo Sabres. Dennis, being in L.A., you have to have an O.J. story that you can share with us. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's been a minute between drinks at the sports bar, so yeah. Great, glad to be with you. Everybody in L.A., if they're old enough, has an O.J. story. And my story was, well, I was watching the NBA final during the time that it happened with respect to the chase, and I guess it was the aftermath, right? When people used to come visit me in L.A. when I lived on the west side of L.A., and I lived close by to Bel Air. I lived in West L.A. I would actually drive people on the route from the restaurant back to O.J.'s house on Rockingham, and people could see, wow, it really wasn't far away. He could certainly have done it. So we used to drive down Bundy over to Rockingham and pass by the house, and eventually, because there was so much traffic going by that infamous house, that the city put up barriers where you couldn't go into Rockingham anymore unless you were a resident. And then eventually someone bought the house and raised it to the ground and built a new one.
Yeah. The thing I remember about that, and I had a friend in LA that did the same thing, like, hey, take me to the scene here. Yeah. And what you didn't come across on the TV was that Bundy is a busy street. And Dennis, this is only a couple years after the crime scene, that apartment kind of remained. So that always kind of stuck with me.
Yeah. I actually got into, when I visited LA, but right before I moved in 96, when I actually got into an accident on Bundy, because it's a high traffic street, and cars are going 45 miles an hour. There are a couple side streets to pull out. So it's not an easy drive with respect to, there is a lot of vehicular traffic. So that's the other thing, is that, he did the deed and was able to go back through traffic and get back home. But there was certainly proximity from the house in Rockingham to the restaurant where both lost their lives.
Dennis, I want to get a little Stanley Cup playoff primer from you here. We love tapping into your knowledge of the league, but we got to start with our Buffalo Sabres, who once again will be missing the postseason here, 13 consecutive seasons, not making the postseason. We wonder about the future of Don Granato. We wonder about how much money is being put into this organization. I mean, Gene makes the observation that just from the outside looking in, it would appear as if this organization is being run as if it's going to be sold. It's been running so lean, and they haven't been investing in payroll. What's your take on the Buffalo Sabres season, a season that is going to end in disappointment once again?
Okay, so they should be in the position that Washington's in tonight, where you need to win a game to stay in the playoff run or to stay in playoff position. Right, that should be the situation. And you're behind a team that has a minus 40 goal differential. It's not good enough. Now, whether Don Granato goes or not is for management to decide. I can't disagree with your take on the organization. I think if there was some billionaire out there that wanted to buy a team that was based in Buffalo, he could probably have it, right? So you could probably get a deal struck. So doesn't mean the organization is willing to sell. It doesn't mean they're actively selling. But if there was, time and opportunity and right money, an owner not like the one in Arizona that had means, yeah, sure, it could conceivably happen. Now, is the team that far away? No. But every time I've come on the show at the end of a Sabre season, I say the same thing. They're not that far away. They found a goaltender. They may have two if Levi's the real deal, right? Look, Paige, was it asking too much for him to replicate last season's numbers? Yeah. Do you need better than 55 points in 68 games? Yeah, at $7.1 million, you probably do. But again, I think with a couple of tweaks, and it's always going to come down to one thing with this team, right? Is the middle six good enough? Like, is there enough offense there, right? Now, look, I know that Colorado needs middle step because Ryan Johansson wasn't going to win them a championship as a two seed, but to get back Byram in that deal, that's a win as well. So they're in position, right? And they do change coaches. I think they're a coach. Look, I think Craig Berube in a second would be interested in coaching Buffalo because there's still a lot of young talent here. You have an elite center in Tage Thompson. There are a lot of good parts. I love Peterka's game this year, 28 goals. He's really emerged from this team. So there's a lot of positives coming out of this, but it's the same thing every year. What do I say to you guys every year? The biggest tease in the NHL is the Buffalo Sabres, because every year they'll go on a run, they'll finish 2 to 4 points out of a playoff spot, and you look at the teams ahead of them and say, oh, they're going to pass those teams next year, and it never happens, right? They should be ahead of Pittsburgh. Like, they should be ahead of Washington. They should probably be, well, they're the three seed right now, but they're probably better than the Islanders. But it hasn't worked. So if you wanted to change coaches, I don't have a problem with it organizationally. I wouldn't have a problem with the state as well. But, you know, this is a pivotal season and pivotal offseason with Kevin Adams. Like, what are you going to do to make this team better? Because it's clearly good enough to be a cusp team. But who, and you guys know this, you know the sport. The worst thing you could do in a sport is be mediocre. You can't be mediocre. You can't be the ninth place team every season because you won't elevate to the first. Right? And I know this team has been at the depths. It hasn't worked. But this is a pivotal season for Kevin Adams and obviously the organization as well.
Yeah, we look at the payroll. You know, and sure, they've signed some of their core players, but Dennis, they've been in the bottom four each of the last four years. Let me ask you the question this way, and it's about ownership, not just in Buffalo, but compared to other owners in the NHL. If I said to just the average sports fan, who are the dysfunctional organizations in the NFL? We point to Carolina. Maybe somebody would say Cleveland or the Jets. I think the Sabres are in this conversation, certainly, with the way they've kind of stripped things down in the front office and they're running leaner. But, comparatively speaking, are they the most dysfunctional organization in the NHL, or who would you compare them to?
No, nobody's more dysfunctional than Arizona. So there's 31 dysfunctions, and there's Arizona, right? So let's put Arizona on the side. Are they dysfunctional? I don't know. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Now, I'm sure there are a ton of Sabres fans listening to the show that will disagree with me pretty vehemently, but I don't think it's to that extent because I think they've done well with trades. I think they won through the draft, but their players are younger. So look, if Rasmus Dahlin came across 3 years from now, he's probably a $9 million cap hit, not a $6 million cap hit. So there's some timing involved. Now, I think the point in time where you call it dysfunctional, and I agree with you from one respect, not making the playoffs when half the teams make the playoffs and it's been 12 seasons, that's not good, right? That's not good. That's a result-based thing, right? That's bad decisions in the front office. Does it mean it's dysfunction there? Well, I know there's been, I know the stories out of Buffalo with the Pegulas. I get it. I understand it. And you're right about the organization being more lean. Has it hurt the organization? Have they not been able to draft a great player because there's one less scout in the front office? I don't think that's the case. But again, now that you're in a position, you have a core forming here. Like you've got three on the blue line, you have a couple up front. Now, what is Kevin Adams going to do, or what's the organization going to do to add to this? Right, this is another fork in the road for the organization. And to your point, there's been too many forks in the road where you think, okay, they're going to achieve it. And I've been going on this for 3-4 years. I thought the Sabres would be a top three team in the Atlantic this season. I really did. I thought this was going to be the season. And to end it like this, when you're behind Philadelphia and Washington and Pittsburgh, who aren't playoff worthy things, you could say there's some dysfunction here, but I don't think it's just based on results. I think there are other things involved with respect to the organization as well.
Dennis, you brought up the most dysfunctional team in the NHL, and I wanted to see if we can get an update from you what we know about the relocation of the Arizona Coyotes to Salt Lake City.
Okay, so the crux of all this, where this really got traction about moving, obviously the owner put out a post on social media saying, hey, you know what? If a team moved to Utah, what would you want to name it, right? That was what I'm like, oh boy, okay, so something's going to go on. Here's the real reality of what's going on and why this is getting some traction now. If they put a shovel in the ground today in Arizona, wherever, Scottsdale, Phoenix, which Scottsdale doesn't want them if you listen to the mayor, wherever. It would take at least 3 years to build a building. So what does that mean? That means they'd be in Mullet Arena for 5 years. And that, I believe, for the Board of Governors is untenable right now. Because when they signed on, remember, it was a 3-year deal, maybe a fourth as an option, and they'd be out of there. Well, that's if they built the building today and they still haven't won the land auction. Who knows when construction starts? So now this is why you're hearing this, that maybe it's the best because look, I went to opening night at Mullet. I thought it was a great experience. The not-so-good experience was the guy crashing into me with his French fries and his soda because there's no press box. And I'm sitting at the top of the lower bowl in a chair where normally there would be drinks served. So that's not really good. And I'm sure the facilities in the locker room, it's Arizona State, which is cool when you go out in Tempe and Mill Street after the game, which is really great. But during games, it's not so great. So I think that, and certainly Marty Walsh, who's the head of the NHLPA, is now meeting with agents in Los Angeles this week about and the top topic is Arizona. Because, and I know there's some compassion, like if they move – Do you feel sorry for the players that are living in Arizona? Please, I don't feel sorry for anybody. You have to move. People move for jobs all the time. So that's not the issue. So the real crux of the situation is certainly the building. But I will tell you this, even if they move this, even if they move to Salt Lake City, they're not giving up on Arizona. Like, they've dug their heels too deep into the sand in the desert to think, okay, it hasn't worked. What would happen is Ryan Smith would buy the team from Murillo, right? Probably pay an expansion fee as well. So it'd probably be a $2 million acquisition, which he can afford. And then 3 to 5 years, when we get to 36 teams, and we will, one of the teams will be in Arizona. And now they're afraid about lawsuits, or maybe Murillo will get that franchise back. But if they leave Arizona, and for people who think it's Arizona, it won't work in the desert, well, that's not the case. Like, they'll go back there as an expansion team if this doesn't get resolved with the Coyotes stay there. But I think for all, and not for nothing, the arena in Salt Lake City is not built for hockey. Right. It's going to be like, and I reference Arizona again, it's like the old America West Arena, where you at one end there's obstructive view, but it's double the attendance. I think if it's right now for hockey, the attendance is probably, I don't know, 12,000, 13,000. Well, that's double or triple what they get in Arizona right now, so it makes sense. So I think that's the situation right now. It's leaning that way, but as Frank Saravelli, who's one of the main reporters in hockey, said, there's a lot of layers and a lot of lawyers, so this is not done yet, but it's trending in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis, when we have you on, we, over the years here, we've been talking about expansion. We saw Vegas, we saw Seattle. We hear all this noise that Atlanta it would be in the mix. Yeah. So do you think we're going to get to a point here? And if so, like, what timeline this out for us? Like, when does the league say, all right, we'll take some more checks here, please?
Okay, so probably 2 to 3 years you're gonna have Utah and probably Atlanta. And they're gonna go back to Atlanta. And not only this, guys, well, people thought it didn't work. There are two groups in Atlanta wanting to buy a team. It's not just Anson Carter and his group, it's another guy named Krause who owns, I believe, car dealerships in Atlanta, has another location in Atlanta. And I think what stirred all that was, you know, there used to be downtown Atlanta facilities and stadiums, and Atlanta's not a great sports town. Let's be real. It's not. But now the suburban, what happened was the Braves moved north and they built this nice facility and a nice destination around the park, and it became popular and it's selling out games again. And so other people in Atlanta said, okay, how do I get in on this new area to develop? Well, through an NHL team. So yeah, you'll see Atlanta. You meet now, you know, not for nothing, like Tillman Fertitta in Houston, forever said, no, I'm not interested in a hockey team. No, I don't need a second tenant in my building with the Rockets. And now this week he's talking to the NHL about being part of a group to buy a team. Like, it's happening. And you know why? Business is good. And I get what fans are saying. You might dilute the product. There's too many players, whatever. No, business is really good, because you mentioned Seattle and Vegas. You had two billionaires lining up and didn't blink, wrote checks, spent money in your organization. One won a Stanley Cup in 6 years. The other one had success 2 years out of the box in the playoffs. It's a good business to be in. And for billionaires that want a toy and want to bring their friends to games and show off their shiny new toy of a hockey team, that's why there's interest in this league. And the play is very, very good, because, you know, when you eventually talk about the game itself and the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can make the case for 10 teams being in there. And I'll never forget one thing, guys. I'll end with this with respect to expansion. I asked Gary Bettman last year about, you know, the surprising results of Vegas winning and Seattle doing well. He goes, I'm not surprised, because we set up the rules for them to succeed. And I get it. If you pay $1 billion for a franchise, do you want 15 years for it to be successful, or do you want almost immediate, you know, satisfaction and performance? You do. So that's why they set up the rules the way they do. So the next team, look, I'm not telling you they're going to win the Cups in 6 or 7 years like Vegas did, or be successful like Seattle was second out of the box, but they will have good players on those teams. They will be more competitive than back in the day when Ottawa came in the league and Winnipeg first came in the league. So that's a situation with respect to expansion. It's going to happen whether fans like it or not, because the business is doing that well.
Dennis, the Sabres regular season home finale is tonight in Buffalo against the Capitals. Playoff implications there. We also have another matchup with playoff implications between the Red Wings and the Penguins. Between the Caps, the Wings, and the Pens, is there a real team out of those three that can make a push in the postseason?
Well, Pittsburgh's playing the best. But if you ever watch Pittsburgh play in the playoffs since they won the Stanley Cup, they're not making a push. They'll go out in five games. Like, they're just not competitive enough. So, and it's great to see one thing. I'll say this about Washington, Pittsburgh, and Detroit. Like, in the midst of this run, and I won't even call it a run, guys, because here's your case, Exhibit A, for not expanding the playoffs when you have these mediocre, marginal teams fighting for the last playoff spot. Like, we don't need the 10th place team. We don't need the Flyers, who lost 9-3 in Montreal and gave up 9 5-on-5 goals in the playoffs, right? But to me, the most satisfying thing is, who's leading Washington? Ovechkin. Who's leading Pittsburgh? Sidney. Who's leading Detroit to some extent? Patrick Kane. So it's great to see these players trying to lift the level of these teams getting in. I think Pittsburgh has the edge. I think they're 6-1-3 in their last 10. They have 3 home games, but they're tough ones. You mentioned Detroit tonight. Then they have Boston at home on Saturday. And Nashville, who's hot as a pistol, cool off a little bit on Monday. So it's going to be tough. I'm personally rooting, not because of Ovechkin, I want to see a team with a minus 40 goal differential in the playoffs, right? That will end the conversation about expanding the playoffs, because Washington, and look, I get it. It's score effect. When they win all close games. When they lose, they get blown out 5-6-0, right? So that's why you're in a predicament that you are. But I will say this, better if you're the Bruins or the Rangers, the worst team right now in position, to be honest with you, are the Bruins. I think of all the playoff teams, because you know who they're going to play in the first round? They're going to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. And that's probably the last team you want to play in the playoffs, because they're coming. The goalie's getting healthy. Stamkos is there. Everybody knows about Kucherov. He's going to be a finalist for the MVP. It's going to be very, very interesting. So the three teams that are battling for the final spot, I give the edge to Pittsburgh because of their home, you know, the remaining home schedule, and they've been playing best of the three.
Meanwhile, like the Hurricanes will get the Islanders or something silly like that. Like, Dennis, we ask this question every year because somebody's going to get screwed in this. And as you mentioned, like, it's always the Atlantic Division. It seems like, hey, this is a matchup that shouldn't be happening here in the first round. Is any movement here to get this format finally changed here? Because fans certainly seemingly want it.
Well, I don't know if fans seemingly want it. To be honest with you, I think a lot of the matchups right now would kind of be the same. Like, if it was 1-8, you'd have in the East, you have Rangers, Capitals, Carolina Islanders, Bruins, Lightning. You'd have the same matchups if you went 1-8, if you do by points right now. So here's the thing. If you really wanted to change it, you know what you have to do? You'd have to do 1-16.
Yeah.
And then you have a situation where if New York plays Los Angeles in the first round, these teams are flying, you know, coast to coast 3 or 4 times. That's not really fair. And that's not how because you build rivalries in the playoffs. Like, you know, I'm kind of rooting for the Islanders drop to the 8. So we have the Islanders Rangers first round. And after what went on the last game about Lobby saying there was, you know, egregious and intentional elbows and stuff like that, I want the Rangers and the Islanders to play. So I think the only way you're going to drastically change it, the format, because I just showed you, it's going to be the same matchups. You would have to do 1-16. I just don't think that's tenable because there'd be potentially too much travel and it'd be unfair to certain teams.
Who's real in the East? Because the Panthers have you know, come on strong once again. The Bruins, we mentioned. The Rangers, you know, the most points in the NHL. What do you like about these teams out East as we approach the Stanley Cup playoffs, Dennis?
Well, I think with respect to contenders, I think there's mirror images of the East and West. I can make the case for 10 teams winning the Cup, right? So there's 5 in the East: Boston, Florida, Toronto, New York, and Carolina. And guess what? I can also make the case for every one of these teams losing in the first round, right? Is Freddie Anderson going to get hurt? Are the Rangers' depth good enough? Is the center play going to be good enough in Boston? Florida, you know, they've regressed a little bit. Toronto, can we count on their big four to produce in the playoffs? So I think that certainly the three finishers in the top three in the Atlantic, legit. I love the way Toronto's playing. They have one of the best records the last 2 months of the season. New York is certainly legit with Shesterkin. You know, Panarin's not going to win the MVP, but he's certainly putting up the MVP season. I love Carolina. Full disclosure, I picked Carolina over Dallas to start the season at thefourthperiod.com. That was my prediction. Love what Carolina's doing. They have the depth. That Freddie Anderson's going to be healthy. They've got a lot of things going for them. So I think that the number three in the Metro is not for real. And I mentioned Tampa Bay, but do I think they're a 3-round team or a 4-round team? I don't think at this point. But the 5, any one of those 5 can emerge from the East at this point.
Dennis, last one for me, and I'm asking this because Washington is in the area tonight as the Sabres opponent. We'll have the game at 7 o'clock here. Ovechkin. like, it's not going to happen next year, but I'm going to figure he's going to continue to play. And, like, we're going to have this chase on for Gretzky. I never thought we would be saying something like that. So your perspective being in Los Angeles that Gretzky could get tracked down and we'll – I mean, this is an opportunity for the NHL to get some eyeballs here if, you know, if this ends up being a chase here in 2 years.
Oh, yeah. And Alex has two more years on his deal after this one at $9.5 million. You know why he signed that contract. Not because he needs the money, because he wants to break a record. And he will. And the rush he put on at this point, like, because remember, he was in the mid-teens of goal scoring. I thought he'd score 18 or 19 goals this year. And I think, okay, does he have the wherewithal? And now he's at what, 30? Mm-hmm. Like he went with a rush he came in. So yeah, he won't break it next year, but he will certainly break it the next in the next season. And the fact that they have TNT and TBS and ESPN and who else knows by the time he's getting close to the record covering this league, of course it's a huge media opportunity. I'm sure it'll be covered. Every game will be covered probably by a network once he gets down to, you know, one or two goals behind. And he is the greatest goal scorer of our generation and eventually of all time.
It's
without
amazing.
Question. And the fact that he's rarely been hurt, guys, that's the other thing. To go through, he's played 1,422 regular season games and another 147 playoff games. It's a lot of hockey for a guy. And the way he plays, you know, that physicality when he came in the league, he's pared it back a little bit now, but it's just a testament to the guy who will eventually be the greatest goal scorer of all time in the NHL.
Dennis, tell us a little bit about the fourth period, what you guys are working on here as we get closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Looking forward to it.
So, it's all about the playoffs, boys. So we'll be at thefourthperiod.com. We have our predictions. We'll be doing video coverage. We have a sponsor for our video coverage, so probably daily or at least every other day we'll be talking about all the playoff matchups. We're excited, and as I mentioned, it's wide open. 10 teams can win the Stanley Cup this year. That's the power in this league is like it's never been before because there's so many great players in this league. So look for us on social media, at our website, thefourthperiod.com. And also, you know, I sit in on Sirius XM. On weekends, we do the Hot Stove from 11, 1 Eastern. I also sit in sometimes during the weekday shows as well.
Yeah, and I want to get out to L.A. just to kind of go through Rockingham and some of these points with Dennis just to give me the guided tour.
Oh, you got it. Anytime. Free of charge, too. I usually charge. But for you,
Dennis, you're the best, man. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Great being on Sports Bar, boys. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Dennis Bernstein, the fourth period. Always great to get caught up with Dennis. Love the OJ story. We'll get to more OJ here in a little bit. Happy hour next in the Sports
Bar. We'll get to another OJ story here. Anybody that wants to kind of weigh in, our phone number 585-866-4326, 866-4FAN.
All right, more next. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.